Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writing to the Corinthians, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And from here, he's going to go on, and now he's going to talk about the message of wisdom that he brought along with that demonstration of the Spirit of power. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help me today to share your word with your people. I ask, Father, you would help me to somehow accomplish the things that you've laid before me for them. Father, help me to be clear today. I pray, Father, they would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us wisdom as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I have paths that I want to go down, things I want to share with you, things I want to do, things I think will be helpful for you and good for you. And then the Lord has another plan. And it's just like, why? If you just tell me up front and early, you could save me a whole lot of busy work. I am convinced that this is what the Lord has been speaking to me in this last week. The way Paul showed up to the Corinthian church was the method by which God intends to show up to the people again. Not just with words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of the living God. See, if I can talk you into salvation, somebody else can talk you out. Words of wisdom are okay, but they're not the be-all to end-all. Here's the problem, though. I'm seeing this more and more. See, we need demonstrations of the power of the Spirit of God to be poured out in our meetings. And yet the truth is, in large part, the church, big C, large church, all the different denominations, they're not ready for that. They're not ready for the Spirit to be poured out. Tongues freak people out. Even, I dare say, the charismatic flow of the church isn't ready for God to pour out His Spirit in our meetings. We've got timers and we've got things that He needs to abide by, and He just isn't willing to do that. It's odd to me that even in the charismatic church, even the slightest of breakouts of the Spirit seem to catch us off guard. Whoa, what's that? Is that okay? Should that be happening here? Yes, in fact, it should. And on a much more regular basis. It was so clear to me when Andre came last week. And for those of you who came, it was cool. It was good. Now, he shared a message with you. It was a good message. But I dare say it's nothing you haven't heard before. In fact, I know it's nothing you haven't heard before. But here's the thing. He didn't just come to us with words, did he? He came with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And see, what happened is that demonstration began to build you up and strengthen you and encourage you. Something happens when I begin to understand that God is paying attention to me. I'm on His calendar somehow, some way. You understand, Andre hadn't planned on coming here. He tried to get here, and the doors opened, and he did. And the reason there wasn't a whole lot of announcement about it beforehand was because there wasn't a big plan about it beforehand. It just worked out. God organized things for him to be here. He was here. He blessed you. And you received that blessing. It encouraged you, built you up. And that, friends, is exactly what the gift of the prophetic is meant to do. Build up and lift up and encourage the body of Christ. As I'm pondering this, I'm wondering how many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you think Andre is a more spiritual person than you are? How many of you think Andre is a better man, or, well, you understand, a better person than you are? How many of you think that Andre is a man without mistakes? Andre's just a man. Just a man. He's got a wife, a couple of kids. But he embraced his call. He laid hold of the call that God put in his life. Do you suppose Andre is in some way immune to discouragement? Do you suppose he ever struggles with sickness or temptation? And here's the real one. Do you suppose Andre ever goes, man, I just need to hear a word from God? I will tell you, for prophets, they often do. God will speak a volume to anybody else, but not a word to them. Sometimes we think that the people operating in the gifts that they're operating in are somehow better Christians than we are. They are perfect people. And that the fact that that gift is working in their life, that that's a sign of God's approval of their life. That's not true. Do you think Andre's gift flows from his perfection? Do you think it flows from his righteousness or his piety? No. Now I want you to understand something. I'm not saying these things to somehow drag him down. I'm saying them because I want to build you up. God has never, he is not today, nor has he ever been a respecter of persons. You will read that throughout the New Testament over and over and over again. He is not a respecter of persons. You know what he respects? You know what he responds to? Faith. That's what he responds to. Here's the crux of what I want you to grab today and what is going to lay the foundation for the next couple of weeks, I really believe. As God pours out revival in this land, and I believe it's imminent, it's inevitable, it is unsuppressible, it's going to happen. As he pours out that revival, you need to understand that he's going to pour these gifts out through your hands. Through your hands. But here's the thing, most of you can't even imagine such a thing. Well, not through my hands. He'll pick somebody who's more righteous than me. Are you not the righteousness of God in Christ? What do you suppose should happen when the revival does break out? Do you suppose every time we need a word, we should call Ed and he should come out? Or Andre? And what happens when people need healing? I don't even know who to call. I don't know who operates in that gift. No, that's not God's way. It's not how he does things. What he's going to do is he's going to raise up prophets and healers and miracle workers among us. That's his way. That's what he does. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says this. He tells the church that it is the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts to the body, and he gives them as he pleases. It's his choice. He makes the decision. That means that if he's not a respecter of person, he's picked gifts for everybody. There's a gift for you. But how are you ever going to operate in a gift that you can't even perceive yourself worthy of? That you can't even see yourself operating in? Well, somebody else will carry that load. Somebody else will take care of that part. Somebody else will lay hands on. Somebody else will go share the gospel. You're just going to sit? You know, there's an old saying, the reason that they call them pews is because if anything sits long enough, it starts to stink. I want you to understand God's intention is to raise up gifts in our midst for the people. You are never going to operate in these gifts until you can see yourself operating in them. Until you perceive yourself as David perceived he was king, as I finally perceived I was pastor. You'll never operate them until you can perceive yourself operating in them. So you stop thinking it's someone else's job and start realizing it's yours. I dare say some of you probably already know what your gifts are, but you aren't quite sure how to walk in it. I don't quite know what to do with it. Maybe even struggle with it. I can tell you when my gifting came, it was tiring for me. And in fact, I finally reached a point where I just told the Lord, you could have it back. I don't think I want it. Because what's supposed to be a blessing isn't a blessing at all. It's a great pressure for me. It's a source of constant frustration. And the reason is I just didn't understand the gift. I didn't understand how it worked. And more to the point, I didn't understand it wasn't for me. It was for other people. See, God gives gifts, not for you. He gives them to bless other people. Now, in the process, you're going to get blessed as you operate in your gift. That just is the way it works. It produces joy in you as you begin to step into your gift. And yet that joy is really for the other person, for the person who's lost or the person who is in need. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's okay to say amen if you get what's going on. Okay, and so as we start talking about gifts being for everyone, for other people, these are gifts, you can already see caveats coming up. It's like, well, I thought the gift of my prayer language, I thought that was a gift to build me up. Well, it is. And so what we really need is some really clear direction about the gifts. We need to define the gifts at a much better level than they've been defined before. We need to be very clear about how they all work and how they all fit. And as I ponder on this, think about it. How do you handle these things? How do I help you understand these things and all the different types of gifts? And again, some of the gifts, they all have the same name, and yet they all are different. Paul calls it the diversities of tongues because there's so many different kinds of tongues and they all serve different purposes. They all have the same name. What was it like the first time a guy saw a wolf? Did he say, that's a dog? Or the first time he saw a dog, did he say, well, that's a wolf? And yet they're really not the same thing. They look a lot alike. Furry, four legs, wet nose. But they're really not the same thing at all. See, once we separate the idea that wolves and dogs are different, then we can actually start talking about the differences between the breeds of wolves and the breeds of dogs. And the truth is there's lots of differences. Sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, well, how many gifts are there? And my general reply is a lot. There's a lot of gifts. The reason I say a lot is because it largely depends on how you want to categorize all these things. And different people categorize them differently. In the strictest sense of the term, I can show you 25 separate gifts in the New Testament. You may actually be looking there and find more. Romans 5:15. You don't need to turn here. You can just write them down if you want. Or Romans 5:15 through 16 reveals the gift of righteousness. The gift of eternal life you'll find in Romans 6:23. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 are the 9 spiritual gifts. Then in Ephesians 4:11, you're going to find 5 gifts of ministry. We're already up to 16. Romans 12, 6 through 8 gives us five more gifts that you aren't going to find in the Corinthians. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, 7, we find the gift of celibacy. That's one everybody chases after. 1 Corinthians 12, 8, we find the gift of helps and government. That brings us to 24. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, 10, Paul speaks of a gift of miraculous intervention. That's 25. And you might be reading and go, you know what, I found a couple other ones. Well, okay. Now, if you happen to grow up Catholic, our Catholic brothers say there's seven gifts. That's it, seven total. That's the number. And every single gift fits somewhere in one of these slots. I think categories is a good term, actually. If you think back, for some of you way back, for some of you maybe not so far back, high school biology, we talked about how do we deal with this issue of the dog and the wolf. We have to classify them, right? And what we found is that, well, let's take our four-legged furry friend here. The first thing we did is understood that because they're both furry and four-legged and wet-nosed, we put them in the family of canine. But the wolf and the dog are different. And so there's many genuses that fall under that family. We got coyotes and dogs and foxes and wolves and all sorts of things that all have their own. And then under each one of those, you got family genuses, and then we'll break those down into individual categories. So under dogs, we might have Labradors. But under Labradors, we can have a black lab, we can have a white lab. You understand, this whole tree can just keep going on and on and on and on. But the idea is it helps us understand the differences between all the different types of animals. So in Catholicism, the seven gifts, and all the gifts will fall into one category. In the Charismatic Church, when we talk about the gifts, generally, we're talking about the gifts in the Corinthians, the nine spiritual gifts, right? The gifts that are often called the power gifts. We talk about those as being the gifts, and every other gift, like celibacy or works, or that kind of falls into some other category, right? We just kind of lump them together. The truth is, as we do that, we cheat ourselves, right? We don't bring light to all of these gifts. I think we lose something when we do that. So what I want to do today, I want to take a minute and I want to try to help you understand the categories of gifts. And then in the coming weeks, I want to really delineate these gifts so you can start walking in them. So you don't get confused about, well, what kind of tongue is that? And what kind of prophecy is that? And there are different types. And hopefully today you're going to see some of that. You might remember a couple of weeks ago when I shared with you, we talked about Doria gifts and charisma gifts. Gifts that were given as a grace and gifts that were given as a special grace. That's charisma. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says this, he says, I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. The Greek word that is translated here as gift is charisma. It's where we take our name from charismatic Christians. We are charisma Christians. And you might say that we are Christians that embrace the gifts. That's what makes us our little flow of things. That's what makes us who we are. Now, charisma is actually from a root word, charis in the Greek, and that just means grace. So you can understand why we call charismatic gifts of special grace. You might say a charismatic Christian is a Christian who embraces God's grace, which has been made manifest. We're looking for a manifestation of the grace, expecting it to come. Now, if you've been in the church any length of time, you understand that all grace is free. That's what grace means. It's a free gift. Grace comes to the undeserving, and it comes to the ill-deserving as well. All right, so when we talk about grace, you need to understand that grace has rules to it. Everything in the kingdom has rules to it. You think, well, how could grace have rules? Grace has rules. There's four primary. We'll talk about some others in the weeks that follow. But there's four rules of grace I want you to understand right now. Grace has only one channel that it will flow through. Only one, and that is Christ Jesus. John 1:17 says that the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. One was works, one is grace. The second rule, grace is offered to only one kind of person. That's the humble. And he gives grace generously, James says. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's James 4:6. As you walk in the gifts, what you're going to begin to see is that there's room for you to kind of get a little bit arrogant. Rod's here, don't worry, everything's okay now. Oh, sure. But see, grace doesn't work through pride. It doesn't. It works through humility. The third rule of grace. It can be appropriated by only one means. Only by faith. Grace only comes by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And then he adds this little tack on. There's a couple dashes there. And that is not from yourselves. Even the faith you needed wasn't from yourself. It is the gift of God. The fourth rule of grace is there is only one administrator of grace, and that is the Holy Spirit. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them, each one, just as He determines. 1 Corinthians 12:11. As you begin to step into the gifts, as you begin to walk in the gifts, you're going to begin to see these rules start to become important. You begin to understand, I can't enter into a gift when there's arrogance in my heart. I can't enter into a gift when I don't understand it's flowing from Christ, or when I will not submit to the Holy Spirit. He makes the rules. You won't submit to Him, He'll leave. You'll find yourself by yourself. Sometimes you'll notice the prophet, like if you were paying attention last week, Andre was prophesying, and he got somewhere over here and he just stopped. It was almost an abrupt thing, like somebody slammed on the brakes. Spirit left. Now, he has a choice to make. He can keep going, try to make people feel good, but if he does, he'll be making stuff up. Well, I don't need that, and you don't need, nobody needs that. You need to understand all the gifts are about grace in some form. Whether it's a Doria gift, which is just a gift, or whether it's a charisma gift, which is a special grace given for a moment. Some of the gifts are inward gifts. These are gifts for you, to you, and they're designed for you. The gift that everyone seeks out, the gift of celibacy, that is a gift for you. It's a gift made for you. It'll strengthen you and build you up if it's your gift. And if it's not, you won't find it helpful. I think oftentimes, I don't know what happens. If you want to be a priest in the Catholic Church, you're commanded to be celibate, right? They don't choose you if you're not celibate. They want you to have the same giftings that Paul had. You should have those same gifts. Well, some men say they have the gift and they really don't have the gift, and it's wreaked havoc in the church. It's wreaked havoc. If it's your gift, then embrace your gift. And if it's not, move along. When we talk about your prayer language, that Jude says is a gift to build you up as you pray in your prayer language. It builds you up. Now, there are other gifts. These are gifts that manifest to the body. They're given specifically for the church. These would be gifts like governmental gifts. There's other gifts that are they're given to people. They're not for you, but they're for somebody else. Maybe they're for somebody who is not his people yet. For the lost. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so tongues can be a gift for you internally. Tongues can be a gift for the body when it comes as a word. And in 1 Corinthians 14:22, Paul speaks of a tongue that is given to the unbeliever. Wow, one name covering all three of these categories. Okay, and if this isn't complicated enough, what we're going to find is there's more than one gift with the same name that crosses a bunch of categories. Healing, for example. Healing can be manifest in me, but healing can also be manifest in the body of Christ. I can pray for you. Or I can pray for the lost, and it can be manifest in them. You see Jesus doing this all the time, right? Didn't matter who the people were. Didn't matter if they were Roman or if they were Jewish. He prayed for the people. Didn't matter if they were Samaritan. He dealt with the things. And for each person, there was an outworking of this special grace. So if we're going to really talk about the gifts, if we're going to dive deeper than just a surface knowledge of them, we really are going to have to delineate what they are. We're going to have to put them into some sort of category. We're going to have to put them into some kind of order so we can figure out what we're talking about. Like our example with the dog, right? We're going to find that dogs and wolves look kind of a lot alike, but they're not the same. You're going to find the same deal with gifts. A lot of them sound the same, have the same name. Sometimes they even look alike, but they're not the same gifts. So we're going to group them into families and genuses and species, and we can even take them further than that. And don't let all this make you crazy, right? I'm trying to find a way to make it as simple as possible, not as complicated as possible. So, if we just take our family, and we're just going to call those spiritual gifts, all the gifts fall under one family. Now, charisma gifts. These are gifts that are rooted in a special grace. That will be a genus. And then under that genus, we'll have different types of these gifts. Does this make sense so far? Are we doing okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. What I want to try to do is give you some examples so you can see what I'm talking about, and hopefully this will begin to gel just a little bit. Paul says this. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of tongues. The distinguishing feature in all of these gifts, each one of these, is that they are a manifestation of a special grace of the Spirit of God. Something that is beyond your day-to-day power. Something that is outside of your day-to-day ability. Healing, for example, falls under this. I can't heal anyone. I'm not even a doctor. I couldn't even take him to a hospital and heal him. When a healing occurs in a meeting, that's because the power of the Spirit of God showed up. He manifested himself. So this species or category of gifts, this falls under what we call charisma gifts, charismatic gifts. Sometimes you'll hear them called the power gifts. They're gifts of power. Now, I want to contrast those gifts that we just read. I want to contrast them with Ephesians 4:11. I think this causes a lot of confusion. Paul writes this. He says, so Christ himself gave. That means it's a gift. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, the distinguishing feature of these gifts is that they're given to the body. That's a difference. So our category or species in this case might be called government gifts or leadership gifts. And they're different than the charismatic gifts. Yet both Ephesians and the Corinthians have a prophet in them. Did you catch that? But they're different prophetic gifts. So let's talk about those differences. And the power gifts. The gift of prophecy is given through the believer. And the governmental gift, it is the believer himself that is the gift. In the power gifts, prophecy is the act of prophesying. In the governmental gift, prophecy is actually the ministry that that person walks in. In the power gifts, what you'll see is a brief supernatural overtaking of someone to operate in that specific gift. In the governmental gift of prophecy, every aspect of that person's ministry is toward that gift. Every aspect. In the power gifts, you will see an immature believer operate in them. You'll see immature believers prophesy and be very accurate for a time. When we're dealing with the governmental gift, the character of the man or woman who is operating in that gift is of supreme import. And their gift can have shiftings based on that. In the governmental gifts, in the power gifts, Corinthians, all may prophesy. You're all allowed to prophesy. In the governmental gift, God gave some to be prophets. You understand what I'm saying? You are not all people who operate in the office prophet, but you are all allowed to prophesy. So the rule in our church, what will happen is, if you want to give a word or prophecy, it needs to build up, encourage, and lift up. And if it doesn't do any of those, then you need to be quiet. Because that's the rule of the Corinthian gift, the power gift. Now, when the prophet comes, he has more latitude. He'll bring correction sometimes. He'll bring greater levels of direction than we will bring. Because that's the office that God placed him in. Do you see the difference between the two? You understand the difference? It's important that you see these. That's why people get confused and then they start arguing about the gifts. And then they just say, you know, we get these gifts out of the church because they're doing nothing but causing troubles. And what's happened is what God gave the body for its building up and lifting up and encouraging has been removed. So it's one of the great tricks of the enemy too. I gotta tell you, I watched as the prophets were drugged through the mud over this election thing. I heard people saying, we're not gonna listen to the prophets anymore. We're not gonna hear from the prophets anymore. We don't want anything to do with the prophets anymore. You're cutting your own hand off. Right? The initial word that came was that Trump would be reelected. I'm not sure that didn't happen. Now, you can say whatever you want, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. I don't want to get political. What I'm saying is, I'm not sure that didn't happen. But when we start going on and reading other things in, that's where things get crazy. All right, so these are the governmental gifts and the power gifts. You're allowed to operate in the power gifts. You're also allowed to operate in the governmental gifts if you have that gift, but that's a gift that the pastor or a group of elders will look upon you and say, that gift is manifest in your life. That is not something you just step into. And if you do, you get shut down really quick because that's a call. You see the difference? Okay, now there's also gifts. This is going to be another species of gifts. And these are the gifts that are internal gifts. They're gifts that are designed to build you up. Jude 1:19-20, Jude writes this. He says, "There are those causing divisions, worldly minded, not having the Spirit, but you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." It was an intention for you to pray in the Spirit. It's a gift for you to build you up, to encourage yourself in your most holy faith. Daniel, he comes back from Ziklag and his family's gone and everything's looted and his men are against him. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways I do it is I start praying in my prayer language. It builds me up and encourages me and lifts me up. Celibacy falls into this category as well. The distinguishing feature of these is that they are internal. They are designed for you, and they produce something directly inside of you. Does that make sense? All right, the final species are gifts that are specifically designed for the lost. Their gear is toward the lost. The gift of evangelism. That's a very clear one, right? If you're saved, you don't need an evangelist unless you're pretending. Then he'll come and sort you out. One of the diversities of tongues that Paul speaks about is a gift of tongues that's geared toward the lost. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, he writes this, "Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking be mature. It is written in the law, by strange tongues and foreign lips I will speak to this people. But even then will not listen to me, says the Lord." Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Then he goes on to clarify, "Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers." All right, so now you kind of go tilt a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, I thought tongues were to build me up. No, wait a minute, I thought they were a gift for the body. No, wait a minute. Okay, you're starting to see the different species or types of tongues. And each one's different. We operate in each one differently. If you think back to the day of Pentecost, this is exactly what happened. You need to understand, on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't what was said that got their attention. It was how it was said. The Bible says that they each heard God proclaiming the glories of God. Well, okay, they've been hearing that their whole lives. Jesus is cool. Well, God's cool. Rock on. What got their attention was the fact that they were hearing it in their own language. That's what got their attention. What got their attention is a group of people who wouldn't know their language was speaking their language. And it became a sign for them. And that sign for them cut them to the heart. And they repented. So, we might call this final grouping evangelistic gifts. Gifts that are geared specifically toward evangelism. I need to lay this foundation, and I know it's maybe not super exciting, but we can't go on to the next places until you understand all these differences. And you need to understand how they're grouped and how different gifts can still have the same name. Three diversities of tongues that are all very different, all produce different things. If we are going to begin to step into the gifts that he's given us, and friends, every one of you, even the ones you right now are saying, well, not me. Yeah, you too. Every one of you has a gift. And we need to step into the gifts. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Some will shy away from the gift, and God will just give it to someone else. And some will embrace their gift, and they'll receive the fullness of it. That's probably far enough for today. Let's close with the exhortation of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He says this. He says, "You should earnestly desire the more helpful gifts." Now let me show you the way of life that is best of all. You should earnestly desire the more helpful gifts. Are you today asking God, would you pour out your gifts in my life? If not, I suggest that maybe you should be. Some of you would like to just have your prayer language, and whatever, there's something that holds it back. Well, I don't know what that is, but begin to ask the Lord. It's not, listen, when your prayer language doesn't come, it's not because you mess up somewhere. I want you to understand that. If you've asked God and it hasn't come, it's not because you're broke. It's not because you're too bad. You haven't reached the standard. That's not at all how this works. It's just a blockage somewhere. And usually you just need to continue to apply a little more faith. But you need to ask Him. You need to mingle these things with faith. Ask Him. Continue to ask Him. Maybe you've got your prayer language. You want more. Father, I want to walk in the gift you have for me. You may already know what it is. I want to walk in the healing. I want to walk in the prophetic. I want to walk in miracles, signs and wonders. Paul says exactly the same thing just a couple chapters over in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, earnestly pursue love and greatly desire, eagerly desire, spiritual gifts. Especially, he says, the gift of prophecy. I want you to know gifts are not to be shunned. And I don't know why they're pushed out of our meetings. Gifts are to be requested and sought after and looked for. And I want to encourage you to do just that. That means that you're going to have to stretch out your faith. Andre, Ed, didn't just wake up one morning and started prophesying. They began to ask the Lord. They began to walk in the gift that God gave them. They began to try, Father, what do we need to do here? How do I position myself to receive? They started mingling it with faith. They started believing and asking and trusting. And then when little tiny bits come, you know, sometimes with your prayer language, sometimes people get one word and it just sounds like sound. I thought it was going to be more impressive than that. Okay, well, in this case, not so much. But don't despise small beginnings. Take that small beginning and use it. Say that word over and over and over and over, and then the next word will come. And then the next word. And then another word. For other people, it just sentences just flow out of them. Just how it works. Jesus said this. He said, be it done unto you according to your faith. Sometimes all I've got is the faith for just a little word. Sometimes I have the faith for more. When I stretch my hand out to pray for somebody, do you stretch your hand out and go, boy, I hope Jesus shows up? Or do you stretch your hand out and go, nothing's going to happen here? Or do you stretch your hand out surprised that something happened when it does? Shouldn't we rather stretch our hand out and be surprised when something doesn't happen? It's all a matter of how you perceive things and how you expect things to happen. Guys, you can't heal anybody. It is He who does that. You are simply a conduit for these things. But you need to start seeing yourself as the conduit. Not, well, I can't wait till Ed comes back so we can get a word. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will raise up among us prophets and healers and miracle workers. And more than that, He'll raise up teachers and preachers and evangelists. Because that's His way. Father, help us today. Lord, help us to see ourselves in this light. Help us to see ourselves as those who walk and operate in Your gifts. Lord Jesus, forgive us for not considering ourselves worthy of the gifts You gave us. Father, forgive us for not wearing gifts, putting on the gifts that You've given us. Father, forgive us for pushing them down. Lord Jesus, help us to walk in the fullness of all that You have for us, and not for our glory and our strength, but Father, for the lost. Father, that we could be like Paul and say, I didn't come with words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, so that Your faith may not rest on words alone. Father, today I pray that You begin to speak to this people and stir up their hearts. And Father, as they begin to ask, I pray, Lord, You would meet them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.